This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَحَبِيبِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلِّمْ أَمَّا بَعْدُ اليوم 11 من شهر شعبان 1444 الموافق ل 4 من شهر مارس 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في الليين. So today inshallah we continue from where we stopped last time. I believe we were talking about the hadith of نافع مولى بن عمر قال أغار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على بني المصطلق وهم غارون فقتل مقاتلتهم وسبى ذراريهم حدثني بذلك عبد الله بن عمر متفق عليه وفيه وأصاب يومئذ جويرية. So last time we mentioned that Ibn Hajar said that there are two lessons to be extracted from this hadith. And number one, he says جواز المقاتلة قبل الدعاء إلى الإسلام في حق الكفار الذين قد بلغتهم الدعوة من غير إنذار. The permissibility of fighting the enemies, the type of the enemies that already received the da'wah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They already have the da'wah, so can the government fight them without inviting them to Islam once again? So from this hadith we learned that yes, it could be done because they already know it is mustahab to invite them, but the leader can also stay away from it because the invitation was already given to them earlier. So this is what the hadith confirms, that it is permissible for a leader to do. It's a controversial matter. If you remember last time, he talked to us about the other opinions. You know, around three opinions, but the best one is this one, the one that says it is okay to do it as long as they already received the da'wah before. If they don't get the da'wah, they did not have any invitation from the Muslims before, then it is not permissible for us to fight them. We have to invite them to Islam first, and then to jizya, and then fighting if they don't want to accept any of the first two proposals. The second lesson, he says, في قوله وسبى ذراريه دليل على جواز استرقاق العرب لأن بني المصطلق عرب من خزاع وإليه ذهب جمهور العلماء وبه قال مالك وأصحابه وأبو حنيفة والأوزاعي وذهب آخرون إلى جواز إلى عدم جواز استرقاقهم وليس في لهم دليل ناهض ومن طالع كتب السير والمغازي علم يقينا استرقاقه صلى الله عليه وسلم للعرب غير الكتابيين كهوازن وبن المصطلق وقال لأهل مكة اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. The second issue is the issue of enslaving the Arabs. Because you have two opinions here. An opinion saying that the Arabs, they cannot be enslaved. They are not saying this in the sense of respecting those ones and disrespecting others, but they are saying it because they believe that these ones are with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They should accept Islam and see it better than anybody else. They're Arabs, they understand the language more than somebody else. You know, others, they need the mutarjim, somebody to translate what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. But these are the Arabs, they know the language, they know everything about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did it reject him? That's why, according to this second opinion, for the Arabs, is either Islam or death. There is no slavery. It's either Islam or death. Yeah, this is the meaning of this opinion. At first, when somebody hears it, you might see that these people, they are making discrimination between the Arabs and others. No, they are not. They believe that Arabs, either Islam or sword, does it. There is no any other option to be given to them. So he said from this hadith, we learned that that opinion is wrong. It doesn't have any opinion, evidence to support it. That opinion is wrong. It doesn't have any anything to back it up. So he says, al hadithu dalilun ala jawaz muqatalat, sorry, fi qawlihi wa sab'a dararihim dalilun ala jawaz istirqaq al-arab. We learn from this hadith because Nafi' said he enslaved the dhurriya. That means the family, you know, enslaved them all. So he said, we learn from this that this is very clear that he is making the Arabs slaves because Bani al-Mustalik, they are from the Arabs. With no doubt, they are from the Arabs. Bani al-Mustalik Arabun min Khuza'a. They are from the tribe of the Khuza'a. وَإِلَيْهِ ذَهَبَ جُمْهُورُ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And this is the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars. وَبِهِ قَالَ مَالِكٌ وَأَصْحَابُهُ وَأَبُو حَنِيفَةَ وَالْأَوْزَاعِ. And this is the opinion of Malik and the companions of Imam Malik. And also Abu Hanifa, and also Al-Awza'i. وَذَابَ أَخَرُونَ إِلَىٰ عَدَمِ جَوَازِهِ. But you have some other scholars who believe that it is wrong to do the istirqaq. You cannot enslave the Arabs. Al-Amir Sanani says they don't have any evidence to stand for them. They don't have anything to support their stance. وَمَنْ تَلَىٰ كُتُبَ السِّيَرِ وَالْمَغَازِ عَلِمَ يَقِينًا إِسْتِرْقَاقَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ لِلْعَرَبِ. And whoever has, whoever read the books of the seerah, وَالْمَغَازِ, the battles of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is also seerah. Usually when they said maghazi, they're talking about the seerah to Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because it's full of maghazi. So if you study the seerah, he said you will conclude 100% that it is okay to enslave the Arabs like anybody else. يَقِينًا إِسْتِرْقَاقَهُ لِلْعَرَبِ غَيْلَ الْكِتَابِيِّينَ كَهَوَازِنْ. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم enslaved Hawazin. You remember the battle of Taif? وَبَنِ الْمُسْتَلِقِ. I'm also the Bani al-Mustalik. وَقَالَ لِأَهْلِ مَكَّةِ. And also actually, if you look at it, the vast majority of the battles of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is with the Arabs, not with the non-Arabs. Only across the last part of his life, when the issue with the Roman Empire started to take place, this is when he started fighting people from outside. But all of the struggles and the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were from inside. And inside means Arabs. And all of the slaves, and even in Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enslaved. You know? And he let them go out of, the result of the shura that comes between him and Abu Bakr and Umar. So he let them go and pay ransom to free themselves, but that opinion was absolutely wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed them for that. So Ibn Ismail al-Amir al-San'ani said, if you study the seerah, you will understand that that opinion is very wrong. That opinion is very wrong. وَقَالَ لِأَهْلِ مَكَّةَ. And also it is reported that he once told أَهْلُ مَكَّةَ اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ التَّلَقَى. Although this narration is weak, but it's very famous in the seerah, that the people of Makkah told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا تَذُنُونَ أَنِّي فَاعِلٌ بِكُمْ. مَا تَذُنُونَ أَنِّي فَاعِلٌ بِكُمْ. What do you think I'm going to do with you? Yeah, because they know what they did with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Persecuted him, took his property and the property of his companions, and killed some of his companions, and followed him to Mecca and fought him in many battles and caused him a lot of loss. You know, so now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got them. That's why he says, "What do you think I'm going to do with you?" قالوا أنت كريم وأخ كريم وابن أخ كريم. They praise him so much with qualities which he deserved more than that, actually. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idhabu fa antum at-tulaqa." Just go, you are all free. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgives all of them except around nine of them. Those one Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wherever you see them, even if you see them mu'allaqina bi astar al-Ka'aba, he said, you cannot forgive them. You have to kill them. Because they are so, so evil, so bad to the Muslims, you know, and Islam. Before the battle of Makkah. Some of them accepted Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam waived that punishment, and some of them refused, some of them got killed, some of them ran away. Okay, if you study the seerah, you will see this. So in all of these mentions, you see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enslaving who? The Arabs, not the non-Arabs. Yeah, not the non-Arabs. I mean, most of the slaves in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're not from the non-Arabs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he enslaved those people who were fighting him, and they're from the Arabs. That's why most of the scholars said this opinion is very weak. So as I said, idhabu fantum tulaqa, the chain of transmission of this narration is weak. وَأَفَادَ أَهَلَ بَدْرٍ وَظَاهِرُ أَنَّهُ لَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَ وَفَادَ أَهَلَ بَدْرٍ. Okay, this is what I have just mentioned. You know, he asked them to pay the fidya. وَظَاهِرُ أَنَّهُ لَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَ الْفِدَاءِ وَالْقَتْلِ وَالْإِسْتِرْقَاقِ لِثُبُوتِهَا فِي غَيْرِ الْعَرَبِ قَطَعًا. So, Al-Amir Sanani says, there is no difference between al-fidya, you know, asking somebody to pay the ransom, or enslaving him, killing those people. There's no difference between Arab and non-Arabs. Everyone is the same. وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ فِيهِمْ وَلَمَّ صِحَّ تَخْصِيصُ وَلَمَّ صِحَّ تَخْصِيصُ وَلَا نَسْخُرُ. So we have facts that establish that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enslaved also the Arabs. And there is nothing from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that shows that that was mukhassas. You know, that was only for those ones. Other than that, there will be no slavery in the Arabs. It's either death or Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say this. قال أحمد بن حنبل لا أذهب إلى قول عمر ليس على عربي ملك وقد سبى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من العرب كما ورد غير حديث. So Imam Ahmad said, I don't take that statement of Ahmad bin Hanbal that the Arabs cannot be owned by others. Arab cannot be owned. He said, Imam Ahmad said, I don't go for this because the hadith is against it. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enslaved them like anybody else. قال ورد في غير حديث وابو بكر وعلي سبى بني حنيفة ويدل له الحديث الآتي. And also we have Abu Bakr, also he enslaved Banu Hanifa, and he enslaved Banu Hanifa ويدل له الحديث الآتي. And also the hadith that will come will support this opinion that there is no difference between Arab and non-Arab when it comes to slavery. So from this hadith, as he said, we learned that there is no difference between Arab and non-Arab in terms of the ahkam. Okay. وَعَنْ سَلْمَانَ بِنُ بُرَيْدَ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ عَائِشَةَ قَالَ قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أمر أميرا على جيش أو سرية أوصاه في خاصته بتقوى الله وبمن معه من المسلمين خيرا ثم قال أغزوا على اسم الله في سبيل الله قاتلوا من كفر بالله أغزوا ولا تغلوا ولا تغدروا ولا تمثلوا ولا تقتلوا وليدا وإذا لقيت عدوك من المشركين فدعوهم إلى ثلاث خصال فأيتهن أجابوك إليها فاقبل منهم وكف عنهم وادعوهم إلى الإسلام فإن أجابوك فاقبل منهم ثم ادعوهم إلى التحول من دارهم إلى دار المهاجرين فإن أبوا فأخبرهم بأنهم يكونون كأعراب المسلمين ولا يكون لهم في الغنيمة والفيء شيء إلا أن يجاهدوا مع المسلمين فإن أبوا فاسألهم الجزية فإن أجابوك فاقبل منهم فإن أبوا فاستعن عليهم بالله تعالى وقاتلهم وإن حاصرت أهل حصن فأرادوا أن تجعل لهم ذمة الله وذمة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا تفعل ولكن اجعل لهم ذمتك فإنكم إن تغفروا ذممكم أهون من أن تغفروا ذمة الله عز وجل. وإذا أرادوك أن تنزلهم على حكم الله فلا تفعل بل على حكمك أنت، إنك لا تدري أتصيب فيهم حكم الله تعالى أم لا. سبحان الله. So this is a very important hadith that shows the virtues of Islam and uniqueness of the religion, where we have rules and principles to be followed even during the wars. You know, Muslims are not supposed to just go and fight just like that. There are laws to be followed even during the battles. So Salman ibn Buraida reported from his father Buraida that Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أمر أميرا على جيش أو سرية أوصاه في خاصته بتقوى الله. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he appointed Amir, you know, to go and fight a people, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم will advise him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he within himself, and also to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his leadership. أوصاه في خاصته بتقوى الله وبمن معه من المسلمين خيرا. He will also advise him to be very kind with the Muslimin, because he is a leader, and kindness and softness and gentleness, you know, and taqwa Allah Azza wa Jalla is to be practiced, to be observed in the subordinate. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell him, ittaqillah fi nafsik wa ittaqillah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi man ma'aka min al-muslimin. Yeah, because they're going to be following him. Whatever he says, they will do. Go there, they will do. Do this, they will do. Yeah. So he has to be sure that what he is asking them to do is correct to him. Yeah, and between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is correct. ثُمَّ قَالَ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُغْزُوا عَلَى اسْمِ اللَّهِ. Fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and for the sake of Allah. Bismillah, you fight in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also for the sake of Allah. So that's mean that the thing that is motivating you to fight should be fi sabilillah. Yeah, that's why, you see, many of these things that are happening nowadays, they don't succeed, you know. Because it's either a group of people based on the protection of the irq, you know, jinns, they're fighting. Yeah. Otherwise, if they're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way the enemy is doing it for their religion, religiously they're fighting them. It's the battle that is based on aqidah. But we don't understand that. We make it a very personal, something that is related to the races. As Ibn Uthaymeen used to mention that whenever he talks about the battle in the Middle East. Yeah, because if you look at the seerah, the battles between the Muslims don't stay that this much, you know. But this one for 60 years, doesn't want to finish. So intention has to be fixed, you know. And people must make sure that they're doing whatever they're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi-idhnillah, regardless of the international support to the others, inshallah, they will never lose the ground because they are oppressed. Which everyone understands that these people are oppressed, whether he is a munafiq or he is a Muslim or he is a kafir, you know, even kuffar also understand that this is an oppression against those Muslims who are living in that place. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that battles has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it to be accepted as jihad fi sabilillah. قَالَ قَاتِلُوا مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ. Fight those people who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fought you. Because it's not general. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did that. He never just go and just fight like that. He fought those people who were fighting him. But those who agreed to stay with the Muslimin in a state of peace, he said Ahlul Dhimma, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived with them in that way. Engage in transaction also with some of them. And in Medina is full of kuffar during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَاتِلُوا مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ أُغْزُوا. Fight. وَلَا تَغُلُّوا. And don't you ever do ghulu. What is ghulu? To take from the booties before it is distributed. The properties which is taken from the enemies, somebody who takes it before the distribution of it, this is ghulu. It carries a very heavy punishment. Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِلَّبِيِّنْ أَنْ يَغُلْ. That's one of its meaning. And also in the jihad, it means to take the property before it is distributed. Somebody was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and an arrow came and killed him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, you know, and then people said, Hani'an lahu bil jannah. He got free jannah. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kalla. He said, no. Inna shamlata allati ghallaha latashta'ilu alayhi fi qabrihi nara. He says that piece of cloth that he took from the booties, which is not distributed yet, he took it without permission. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converted it into fire for him in his grave. That's why the scholar said we don't confirm the shahada for anyone, unless if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that, because this one, according to everyone, he is shaheed. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he is in hell. Waliyadhu billah. So it's a very serious matter. In the past, the ghanima is not halal for us to take. It's haram for us to take ghanima. In the past, it's haram to them to take ghanima. But in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lifted that, what do you call, ban and impermissibility. That's one of the things which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got from Allah, and no any other prophet was given this privilege. قال ولا تمثلوا ولا تغدروا, and do not deceive. Yeah, do not deceive. Yeah. Do not cheat. Yeah. Okay, al-ghadr is a cheat. Al-khuda, al-khida is possible in fighting. Possible in fighting, which is somehow related to the ghadr itself, is to deceive the enemy in the way they think something and you are referring to something else. Yeah, that's why Ali ibn Abi Talib says, if I talk to you for myself, he said, فَإِنَّ الْحَرْبَ خُدَعَ. He said, whatever I tell you about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, just take. But if I tell you, if I'm talking about myself, he says, you should know that battle is all about deception. خُدَعَ. Yeah, when I sense somebody is going to cheat, as he said, lest to be khibbi wal khibbu yakhda'uni. I like this type of statement where somebody is really faulty. Because people sometimes use your kindness, you know, and gentleness and patience, they cheat you. Whoever wants to cheat will, as Fulan is very calm, the easiest person to cheat is you. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, I'm not that useless person. And I would never open the door for a useless person to come and deceive me. Muslim is supposed to be hadir. Yeah, lenient, soft, but your eyes are widely open. You know exactly who you're dealing with. Yeah, when you sense deception or cheating, you have to block. Let that person know that you are awake. Yeah, this is Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana aliyanan nas. The most lenient person was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But كان يحذر من الناس, كان حذر, حذر جدا. That's why even if you see in terms of information and learning about the surrounding, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is really expert in that. We live in an environment which is very complicated. We should be actually taking this manhaj very seriously. You know? You can see during the first of Hudaybiyah, whoever comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before they even reach Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will say, this one is so and so and so. This is Sahibul Qadr. And he's like, he knows everyone. Whoever this, hence the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows who this person is. He will say, this person is from a people who really loves hadith. So, yalla, 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 bring your shoes and put them on the camels and start saying, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, you know. Yeah, and subhanAllah, by the time the man came, he doesn't need to have so many questions. To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went back to Quraysh and told them, the man is coming here for Umrah. Quraysh said, no, he just deceived you. He said, no, Quraysh, this is not our agreement. You know, our agreement says, whoever comes to Makkah for Umrah, you guys should let him. And if you're going to stop them, I'm going to, bring the Habish to you, you know. And I'm going to let them come and fight you. when Suhail came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hada Suhail, sahalallahu amrakum." You know, so even his name, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that. So that's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very hazir. Wherever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exists, he will have his own, you know, presence in that place. He knows what is going on, who is who, and who does what. And add to that also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting him with information which other people don't have. That's why he might know information about others, we don't know. We see a person, we think that everything is fine, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ نَحْنُ نَعْلَمُهُمْ. Allah says, you don't know who these people are, but we know who they are. So he informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about some of this. So as I said, a Muslim, wherever you go, you should be hazir. And it's inappropriate for a believer to let somebody cheat him. You Allah, it's inappropriate for you to be cheated. Unless it is something that you cannot avoid. But that kind of cheating that I hear, somebody cheated this person in business, and the reason why he was cheated because he communicated with him through the internet, you know, and they agree. Yeah, even in the face-to-face thing, people cheat. And then somebody just come and speak to you and send you all of the details, and you just agree like that. You think their message seems to be okay, right? And then you can go forward. It shouldn't happen to the Muslim. Yeah. And also, once the cheating happens, you shouldn't be cheated again. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yildagu al-mu'min min juhrin marratayn." Yeah. The first one can happen based on negligence, and the second one shouldn't happen. Yeah. After that, and khalas, put a barrier between you and that person. Keep the good relationship. But put a barrier so that message will reach him properly. He should know that you are not that person that he can approach in that regard again. قَالَ وَلَا تَغْدِرُوا وَلَا تُمَثِّرُوا. And don't do muthla. Muthla is the mutilation. Yeah, that's, when they kill, especially the kuffar, when they kill, what they do? They cut, you know, they distort the body. You know? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the Muslims, he said, وَلَا تُمَثِّرُوا. You shouldn't do the muthla. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا وَلِيدًا. And don't kill children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't kill the children. So those who did not reach the age of maturity, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't kill them. Yeah. Unless if they fight. He said, don't kill sisters and don't kill children. This one is restricted. As long as they don't fight. They're supporting them with food. They're motivating them to fight. Just leave them. Focus on the elders. Leave the kids. Yeah. But if they're fighting, yeah, you can also take them off. Yeah, the children are trained by the enemies and they're using arrows to shoot the Muslims. Yeah, you can shoot them also. The same goes to a sister who brings weapons and she fights. Yeah, she's just like one of the fighters. Yeah, you can just fight at that time. But she just being present in the battlefield is not giving us the permission to kill. Yeah. قَالَ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا وَلِيدًا قَالَ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا وَلِيدًا وَإِذَا لَقِيتَ عَدُوَّكَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ فَدُعُهُمْ إِلَى ثَلَاثِ خِصَالٍ. And when you meet your enemy from the mushrikeen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. It did not say مِنَ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, right? And usually, there is a difference between the mushrikeen and the أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ in terms of technical definition, okay? In reality, they all do shirk. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, he differentiated between them. He said, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. قَالَ, if you meet your enemy from the mushrikeen, invite them to one of the three options. فَأَيَّتُهُنَّ أَجَابُوكَ إِلَيْهَا فَاقْبَلْ مِنْهُمْ وَكُفْ عَنْهُمْ. If they accept any one of them, just accept and stay away from them. If they accept the first two. قَالَ أُدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فَإِنْ أَجَابُوكَ فَاقْبَلْ مِنْهُمْ. He says, invite them to accept Islam. If they accept it, alhamdulillah. That means no fight. ثم ادعوهم الى التحول من دارهم الى دار المهاجرين. And then you should invite them after that to move from the place to the Dar al-Muhajirin. That's Medina, the place of the Muslims, right? This one is still applicable. Hijrah from the Dar al-Kufar ila Dar al-Muslimin. قَالَ فَإِنْ أَبَوْا فَأَخْبِرُهُمْ بِأَنَّهُمْ يَكُونُونَ كَأَرَابِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. But if they refuse to take the first option, and they refuse to take the second option also, they accepted Islam, they accepted the first option, but they refused to take the second one, which is to move from their place to the Muslim territory. The Prophet ﷺ said, tell them, by choosing not to accept the second option, you know, that means you will be acting like the Arab al-Muslimi, like the villages. Muslim, but they're living in the village. قال ولا يكون لهم في الغنيمة والفيء شيء إلا أن يجاهدوا مع المسلمين. And they don't have any portion from the غنيمة and the فيء. The difference between غنيمة and the فيء, غنيمة is the booties that the people got after fighting the enemies. They fought to get it. Yeah, at the end of the day, they defeat the enemies and they got it. But فيء is the one that they got it without fighting. Yeah, they reached the place and the enemy ran away. So whatever they get in that place, it is called fayy. Both of them are ghanima, but this is how the scholars differentiate between them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned both ghanima and the fayy also. So if there is a battle physically, and then they got something, it is called ghanima. If there is no battle, they just reach the place and the enemy run away, whatever they got is called fayy. Yeah, it's important to know these differences because they are supposed to be treated in different way. For the ghanima, they divide it into five, and they give arbat al-akhmas, 4 out of 5 to the combatants, the mujahideen, and 1 is to be given to the fi sabilillah, those masakin and on and on. And for the fay, all of it is supposed to be divided into five and distributed. All of it is supposed to be distributed, not divided. It's supposed to be distributed to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. Okay? فَلِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَلِتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give it to those who aren't, so that the money will not remain circulating amongst the rich people only. Yeah. So one of the objectives of Islam is to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor, but not completely reduce the distance. Yeah, so that those ones also will enjoy comfort, right? Which the economic system nowadays is built upon increasing that gap. It has to be a big difference between the rich and the poor. قال ولا يكون لهم في الغنيمة والفيء شيء إلا أن يجاهدوا, except when they fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إلا أن يجاهدوا مع المسلمين, unless if they do the jihad with the Muslims. فإن أبوا فاسألهم الجزية, if they refuse then you should ask them to pay the jizya. فإن هم أجابوك فاقبل منهم, if they accept to pay the jizya then accept that from them. فإن أبوا فاستعن بالله تعالى وقاتلهم, if they refuse then seek the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just fight them. قَالَ وَإِذَا حَاصَرْتَ أَهْلَ حِصْنٍ فَأَرَادُوا أَنْ تَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ ذِمَّةَ اللَّهِ وَذِمَّةَ نَبِيهِ فَلَا تَفْعَلْ وَلَكِنْ اجْعَلْ لَهُمْ ذِمَّتَكَ فَإِنَّكُمْ أَنْ تَغْفُرُوا ذِمَمَكُمْ أَهْوَنُ مِنْ أَنْ تَغْفُرُوا ذِمَّةَ اللَّهِ. If you besiege your enemy and that enemy decided to ask you to come for the sulh, based on the agreement between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, do not put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala involved. Just make it between you and them. Because it is always easier to go against and to betray and to, go against the treaty, to break it, to break the treaty that is between you and them, than breaking the treaty between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's too heavy. And it carries heavy consequence. وَإِذَا أَرَادُوا أَن تُنْزِلَهُمْ عَلَى حُكْمِ اللَّهِ, if they want you to use the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge them, using the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in them, فَلَا تَفَعَلْ. He said, don't do. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي أَتُصِيبَ فِيهِمْ حُكُمَ اللَّهِ أَمْ لَا. Because you don't know. Are you going to get really, really the actual hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in them or not? Because you don't have access to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since you don't know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell them, I will use my hukum on you. Yeah. Rather than the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you use your ijtihad to judge them. You don't use the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you use your ijtihad to judge them. Yeah, if your ijtihad is wrong, it's much easier than having you putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala claiming that this is based on the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in reality you don't know the hukum of Allah. That's why when the Kufar Banu Qurayza, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to judge between them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted, asked them, if you agree to appoint somebody from you, you know, I'm sorry, this is the Hulafa of the Banu Qurayza, the Arab, the Ansar, they were asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show mercy upon Banu Qurayza, just like the way he showed mercy upon Banu Qaynuqa. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed to them, if one of the Hulafa of the Banu Qurayza can be the judge. They said yes. So since he's asking the Ansar would never appoint anyone except the leader. He said, if you agree with your leader, this is the Aus. He said, if you agree with your leader if you agree with somebody, I will agree with that. So he told them, who do you agree with? They said, Sa'd. Yeah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. So they brought him. A shahid, when Sa'd, decided, he judged, he said, my judgment in them is that everyone who reaches the age of maturity has to be killed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقَدْ أَصَبْتَ فِيهِمْ حُكْمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَقْرِ سَبَعْ سَمَوَاتِ. You see, and he did. He says, this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did he know that this is the hukum of Allah? Allah told him that this is his hukum on them. Yeah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in them is that those ones should be killed. Whoever reaches the age of maturity has to go. And they killed on that day 700 people. And subhanAllah, if you read that story of those ones, you know how wicked is the Jew. SubhanAllah. They know he is the truth. You know, the conversation between them and their leaders confirmed that they know what the Prophet ﷺ is inviting for and looking for and inviting them for. But still they refuse to follow. One of them was given actually even the permission to go. And he says, no, as long as my master, his leader, is not released, I will agree to go with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq wa sadaat. So this hadith has several lessons, inshallah, that Al-Amir Sanani will enlighten us about them. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will go through them one after the other, inshallah, in the next class. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You have any questions? Okay. I did not even open the message. Yeah. Inshallah, after the class, I will open it then. Okay, Ryan, I think if there is no, let us just close the session and pray with the people, inshallah. No question. Okay, thank you very much. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته